This is the Life Journey Podcast with Quentin, a.k.a. Q Gauze No Days Off, from on the field and off the field, NFL player and entrepreneur, motivating you to be the best you can be and getting you out of your comfort zone. Sharing with you travel, sports, and entrepreneurial tips with amazing guests on the show. Now, get ready for your life to change with the Life Journey Podcast and your host, Quentin Gauze.
What's up, everybody? This is Quentin Gauze. Welcome to the Life Journey Podcast. Oh my gosh, so we got a special guest on today. I love interviewing people that travel the world, that go to different countries and just explore and just like get a chance to live their life. We have Stephanie James on. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. It's great to have you on. So I looked, you reached out to us on our IGs, hey, can I get on the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, heck yeah. Like, let's get you on. Like my assistant said, she's a traveler and this. So I just want to kind of go through a little bit. I'm going to let you talk about the remainder of it. But like, look, she does spoken word. She's a Hampton University grad. She's done some Muay Thai. She's done some surfing. She's been to 38 plus countries. She has a book out. And she's a digital nomad. Like, she does so much. Like, I just think it's amazing. I really think it's amazing. So I appreciate you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and all the amazing things you've done.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's a very nice intro. long story short, or kind of in a nutshell, like I worked for a Fortune 50 company for 8 consecutive years. So I was just working and I started to travel. I went to Italy, I went to Greece, and just started to have this desire to travel more. And I tried to get my company to allow me to work remotely, and it just wasn't coming together. They just weren't progressive enough at that time to allow. So I quit my job in 2017 and have been traveling ever since. So like you said, I went to 18 of the 38 countries in 2017. So like 2017 was crazy. It was kind of like I lived in a different country every month, and then would go to another country for 12 months. So the entire year was spent divided between South America, Europe, and then Asia. So it was an amazing experience. And then I really haven't stopped since then. I lived in London for a year and a half after that. And then last year was running around. So of course now with everything going on, I'm grounded, but grateful for the opportunities that I had so far, right?
Right.
So that's that with the travel. And then, I'm also a poet. I'm an international poet and singer. So I used to be a wedding singer. So I've serenaded like over 80 weddings in my lifetime. And then I do poetry as well. And the really cool thing is that I've been able to take my poetry around the world. So where any countries that I've been to, I've been able to also perform and sell CDs. I have two albums of poetry and song. And it's just been an amazing journey. Really, since 2017, it's been crazy.
Wow, that is crazy. That's like that year for some reason has been the year for like change for a lot of people I've spoken to. What was the name? Hey Ashley, I don't know if you know her.
I'll have to look her up now.
vegan and travel and tech. So she quit her job in 2017, working for some corporation, and got into doing something similar. But except she does more like you're just talking about like this vegan food and stuff.
So, okay, I'll have to check her out. I have to connect with her. Definitely. Yeah, I think 7 is the number of completion, right? So I think in 2017, it was kind of like, okay, it's time to, you're done with like one chapter and moving on to the next. That's kind of how it felt for me as well, so.
In real life, I love it. Yeah, that's the same, like 17 is when I ended up leaving the Broncos. And that was kind of, I went to other leagues, but that's when I started to do more travel and stuff like that. Go to Colombia, go to Mexico, Haiti, different places. Mm-hmm.
Where were you in Colombia?
Colombia? Yeah. I love Colombia. Cartagena and Medellin. So,
yeah, I lived in Medellin for 2 months, and then my sister actually taught there for a year or so in Armenia, like the coffee district. So it's a really small region, but I visited her. I went to Cartagena. It was really hot, like too hot for me, being from Colorado. But it was fun. I really enjoyed Colombia.
So. Yeah. So how's your Spanish?
It's pretty good. Muy bien. Awesome. Yeah, okay. I can speak. Well, so I lived in a lot of Spanish-speaking countries. And so when I'm there, it's better, right? When I'm not there and I'm not practicing, it's not the best. But when I'm in those countries, I can definitely get around. And it's pretty good. It's decent.
It's the same way over here. Like, it's like, because you're speaking English so much. So it's like, okay, once you're forced to speak it, now it just comes out.
Yeah. Right. And then when you stop practicing, you lose a lot of it. But once you go back, you'd be fine. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Cool. So let us know a little bit about like growing up in Colorado and like from all the way from elementary school and all the way up to high school.
Yeah. Okay. So elementary school, I was in a like diverse neighborhood. So it's weird because a lot of people don't think that Colorado has, like if I say I'm from Colorado, people will say, oh, there's black people there. And I'm like, no, I'm the only one. As you know, playing for the Broncos, you know that there is a diverse group there. A lot of diversity from the city comes from the Army base, as well as the Air Force Academy is there. And then we have the Olympic Training Center there, which a lot of people don't know as well. But yeah, I lived in a neighborhood where there was a lot of diversity in my schools. So like from elementary to middle school to high school, I grew up with a very diverse environment. Like a lot of friends were Hispanic, a lot of friends were Asian, and you know, we had a strong African-American population at my school. So it was really good environment to grow up in. And even just like going Hampton and having that culture shock, it's kind of funny because to go to a HBCU, like an all black school, was culture shock for me, like growing up in Colorado, where I was around a lot of white people often. And then to come to like the East Coast and go to an all black school, that was culture shock for me. But when I talk to my friends, like from the East Coast, they get culture shock in Colorado, or when there's like a lot of white people around, right? Or so. But I played sports in school, so I was super active. I played softball, I ran track, and I played basketball. Of course, basketball was like my favorite sport. I always wanted to go to the WNBA. I graduated from high school with a 4.1. So I was like a co-salutatorian of my high school. And actually in 2015, I feel super old saying this, but in 2015, I was inducted into my high school's Hall of Fame for basketball. So that was really cool. Say one more time, sorry.
Say, were you a 1,000-point score?
No, it was for my threes. It was, I was 1,000-point. I'm in the 1,000-point club, and it was like the three-pointers as well. So I think there's only like five of us that are in the 1,000-point club. So that was, it was an honor.
Awesome. Oh, okay. So very talented, very active, smart, athletic. And it seems like you come from good stock, great family and stuff as well too. So that's awesome. So talk a little bit about that transition from high school to college. And again, you said it's culture shock, but what was that experience like between that threshold point?
It was hard for me, to be honest. Like my freshman year of college was tough. Like I would call my mom, like I played basketball, right? So I had my basketball teammates, which was great. But it was just still a lot. Like I talked to my mom a lot during freshman year. And then being at Hampton, Hampton's an amazing environment. I loved college years. Sophomore year, I was gone. Like I never spoke to mom at that point because I was just having so much fun. But the transition from Colorado to an all black school, it was tough at first, just to kind of get used to the norms. And you know, I was around people that grew up primarily on the East Coast. There were some like California students that went to Hampton and stuff like that, but for the most part, a lot of the students were coming from the East Coast. Gotcha. And they were used to being around all black environments. It was culture shock in a good way though. Like I didn't dislike it. I was just like, wow, this is a lot of people that look like me. This is fun. You know, it was good. It was just a lot, like initially, but I had a good time there. I was playing basketball, like I said. I was captain of the team. And then my senior year, I actually graduated with a Presidential Recipient Award. So I graduated college with a 3.95 as well. So I didn't do a ton of like partying in school. It was really basketball. I went to church a lot. And then my studies, you know. So that was kind of my college experience. But still fun, still a good time.
No, that's good. I mean, hey, you know, everybody has a different experience, and that's the biggest thing, though. It says a lot, like, when you go to college, what, like, are you grounded? Are you, you know, some people are just like, oh, I can't wait to get out.
Right.
Like, staying grounded the whole time is, like, it's really good to keep that focus. And that's how you were able to get high GPAs in college. And, I mean, that's amazing. So, kudos to you on the consistent success and not, like, getting super distracted, you know.
Thank you.
It's easy. It's real easy to, especially in college.
What school did you go to?
Oh, I went to Rutgers.
Okay.
It's right in Jersey.
Yeah, I know Rutgers for sure. That's awesome.
Are you? Yeah, but definitely had a good time. Again, similar thing. Like, with on my end, it was mainly like I had a lot of, in high school, I had a learning disability. You know, like the, what was it called? The 504 plan, whatever. So it took me a little bit longer to learn concepts, but I still like stayed after school, put the work in. And parents were like, I don't care what they say about, you know, oh, like, you're done. No, it's not that.
Right, we're not accepting that, right? Concept. We're not receiving that. You just got to work a little bit harder, but you're going to get it. And look at you.
Exactly. 3.9 in high school, 4.0
okay.
in college.
Okay.
You got to work at it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I love it. I majored in public relations. I was in the communication school. Okay. What was your major?
So I wanted to be a sports broadcaster.
Okay, well, okay. There you go.
Communications, yeah, same thing. But I like internships in high school, internships after the football season, and then guess what I ended up doing?
Playing football, but also on the podcast, on the Life Journey podcast. So.
Podcast, but and I own a company, a marketing agency.
Okay.
Called Iron Visual. So I ended up going into marketing and filming, and that's how it started with like travel stuff. So we started traveling, filming, doing all these different things. And from sports broadcasting, let's switch it.
Right. let's make it broader and capture more things, right? That's right. Amazing. So, that's awesome.
Cool. So in regards to, so that transition, getting out of college now, what was that like? Was it scary? Mm-hmm. Was it like, I already know what I got, what I want to do?
I have to tell you, it was amazing. And it was crazy. That's what I'm going to say to start. So this is like amazing fairy tale story, and then it like all crashes down. All right, so here's the, I'm just like building the suspense for you. Okay. So I was engaged, so my ex flew me to Paris, and he proposed in Paris on Christmas. And so I was engaged. I had, you know, received the Presidential Recipient Award, which was like the biggest honor out of college. And then I had an internship with NBC Universal in Beijing. So I went to the 2008 Summer Olympics, and we actually broke up right before I went to China. And so it was just crazy, to be honest. It was a wild ride. We broke up, broke off the engagement, never like been married or got married, and I just went to Beijing. And that was actually initially what sparked my desire to travel and see more, because I mean, I don't know if, well, you know, because you've been to like international locations, right? But China is like, if somebody's new to traveling, like, I wouldn't start them in China. That's what I would say. And so China was like, one of my first like big international trips. And I was there for the entire month. And I was interning, like I said, with NBC Universal at the Olympics. So it was amazing. Like, I was kind of sad about the breakup, but then I was also having the time of my life. Like, we got to go see Serena Williams, Roger Federer, you name it. LeBron, Kobe, I met Kobe over there. Like, it was amazing.
God bless him.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was fine. I came back and I was unemployed when I came back because it was just an internship. So I was like, stayed in Colorado for a little while and was applying for jobs, and then started working for PepsiCo. And I was with Pepsi, I was with Frito-Lay under Pepsi for 8 years. Wow. And then, like I said, I wanted to stay with the company. It's an amazing organization, but I just wanted to travel more, and they just weren't progressive enough at that time for like a work from home option. So I quit. Like, I left the organization to travel, and I've been working remotely ever since. So I've been working remotely for almost 4 years now.
Wow. And now, are you remotely with your own business, or remotely like working with another company?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So I have an apparel line called Same Shirt DC, or Same Shirt Different Country. And really what it is, it's a minimalist movement to inspire people to gain more experiences versus acquiring more stuff. So it's like, yeah, I have on the same shirt, but I'm in a different country. Like, so who cares, right? Like, what's more important? So I have an apparel line. We sell t-shirts, hoodies, and tank tops. And we're thinking about some new products coming soon. So that's exciting. So I do that. And then I have my brand, myself, like Just the Vessel. So as a poet, an international poet and singer, like I said, I perform in every country that I've been to. And then I also perform locally, right? So for my church or anything that's going on, I've performed thousands of shows, like poem, different things. I'll write a poem for specific events. I've done birthday parties and weddings and funerals and you name it. So I have Same Shirt DC, the apparel line, the minimalist movement. Mm-hmm. Just the Vessel is my brand, my poetry, my singing. And then there's like the travel piece that's within that.
Right. And
then I work for a tech company as well. So we sell like tech courses. So it's to help people accelerate their career in tech. If you want to be a software engineer, a UX UI designer, a data analyst, you know, we sell like courses for people to kind of change the trajectory of their careers.
Right. Wow. How does it, you know, it's amazing what you just said. How does it feel like to be doing what you want to do? And a lot of people aren't, I think COVID-19 helped people notice that more, but how does it feel to do what you want to do, to live your life that you, the way like God intended it to be?
That's a beautiful question. It is liberating, right? And I'm sure you know that because you're doing it as well. But it's so liberating, and it's crazy because there's so much fear that holds people back, and it's sad, right? But you have to be able to make that own decision yourself. There are sacrifices, right? I did sell my place. I sold my car. I live out of a suitcase and a backpack for the last 3 years. Everything that I own fits in one small storage closet. Like, you know, but being a minimalist, like for me, that's fine. And it just puts things into perspective as well, of like what's important and what's not.
Right.
I love it. I absolutely love my life and the way that I live it. So yeah, I can't complain at all when it comes to that.
That's powerful. Yeah, I just think it's great from what you said, because a lot of people should, hopefully after, you know, once this COVID thing is like clear out the woodwork, should be taking that leap of faith to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, it's definitely been awful, right? For the economy, for many people, just across the board, it's very layered. But at the same time, the one good thing that probably came out of it was companies being more progressive, right? Companies that said, we can't even imagine how people are gonna be productive remotely. And then actually COVID kind of forced their hand. Like, you have to work remotely for this duration of time. And now they're noticing that, the productivity levels didn't decrease.
Right.
These people are still doing what we wanted them to do. Oh, even and above. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also we're saving money because we're not paying mileage. We're not paying for office supplies. We're not paying anything. Like, you know, they're looking at the cost savings. They're looking at a lot more and seeing that remote work isn't a bad thing.
Right.
So that's exciting to me for the world of like the digital nomad community. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously not good under good circumstances.
Right. No, so I understand. No, I agree with you. Like, a lot of companies are making a transition now. A lot of folks are working from home. And at this point, I feel they cut. I was talking to, Ottawa Tourism Board, and they were talking about how, yeah, they did like a 30%, 40% cut in this job. Mm-hmm. So then they're not getting any tourism tax from the hotel. So they got to survive somehow. But
wow,
interesting. A lot of tourism boards are doing that. And so it's a lot of the funding has gone down, but it's interesting. So just think about all the other companies. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That are having to make those adjustments.
Yeah. And whoever has the true skill sets are staying.
Right. Right.
So true. So what's your favorite hometown restaurant? Let's do two. What's the favorite hometown restaurant? And what's your favorite international restaurant you've been to?
Oh my gosh. That's so hard. I love food. Oh my gosh. Okay, let me think here. So hometown, okay, you lived in Colorado. Colorado Springs, I don't know. So Denver has a lot more going on. Colorado Springs is very franchisey, for lack of a better term. So there's not like a ton of choices. There's one place downtown Colorado Springs. It's called Saigon. And they have like, it's a Vietnamese restaurant, and they have like lemongrass chicken. I hope that they're not affected by COVID and that they like bounce back. But yeah, Saigon is an it's really good. It's really good. So they do like a lemongrass chicken there. And then internationally, oh, that is so difficult.
That's a tough question.
I'm going to go with an experience because I do love food in all the countries I've been to. But I went to Vietnam again. So I guess I like Vietnamese food. But in Ho Chi Minh, there's a restaurant. It's called Noir. Mm-hmm. And all of the waiters and waitresses are blind. Wow. And you go there, and initially when you come in, they have you do an exercise with your eyes closed just to kind of like immerse yourself into what their world feels like every day. And it's actually really difficult. It's like a kid's puzzle block toy, but it's really challenging, right? Because you're used to using your eyes to put it together, and you have to use all of your other sensories to complete the puzzle. So once you complete the puzzle, the waiters and waitresses take you into a room that is pitch black. And I'm talking pitch black. Like you can't see your hand in front of your face. So they seat you, and then you eat your entire meal in the dark. And you, like, at first you're trying to be all like prim and proper and like use the fork, and you can't see, so you end up like using your hands. Mm-hmm. And then of course, when you don't know what you're eating, everything tastes like cow tongue and like guts, because you don't know like what, you're just nervous, right? There's like furry things. And
it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And they don't let you know what you're ordering, or you just...
No. So they get your dietary, like, you know, restrictions and stuff like that prior, but you don't know what's on the menu. So you can't say like, oh, this is that. And they do really exotic things. Like they have like a, one of the fruits that's kind of prickly. So you're just, all you can do is feel it. And as you're putting it to your mouth, it's just,
you're like,
yeah. But I thought it was a really like amazing experience. It was a cool concept, super humbling. And yeah, I had a good time. So that's one of like 1,000.
Thousand restaurants
that I can share. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, someone did tell me about that. I didn't know it was. I thought someone said it was actually in the United States, but it's not. It's international.
Well, they probably have them. I'm sure they have them in the States, and then they have them internationally as well. That was just my first time experiencing it, and I think they're actually called different things, but it's like a similar concept. But I have heard that they might have one in like California, New York, or, you know. But I was in Ho Chi Minh when the one I went to.
Yeah, it's much better international anyways.
Yeah, for sure.
So, now that's cool. Wow. So, once the borders open up, things clear up, where is Stephanie going next?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, I was headed to Peru. I still would love to go to Peru because I just had so many things planned. Like, I wanted to go to Rainbow Mountain and Machu Picchu. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was just calling me. So, I wanted to go there. This is a strange one, but for some reason, I really wanted to go to Estonia this year.
Really?
Yeah,
a couple Europe. Friends out there.
Okay, and I wanted to go to Lithuania because I heard that Vilnius, the capital, is becoming a new digital nomad like hub, but it's new. So before, like, everybody knows about it, like Split and Medellin and like some of the other places that are more popular. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pop in to Lithuania as well. So like Lithuania, Estonia, Peru, and then Ghana is definitely high on my list as well because I haven't been. Well, those are like the top ones, but honestly, I love just to travel. I'll go anywhere that's safe.
Awesome.
That's safe and welcoming. So,
right. Have you had to deal with any like moments where you're like, yo, I don't feel safe right now? Like, has there been moments like that, or every time you've traveled, you've been like very accurate with like location?
Yeah.
Making sure you walk around in the light, like, mm-hmm. has been experiences like, oh, I had to run, like, anything crazy like that, or is?
Well, yeah, there is. So yeah, actually, that there is one out of my 38 countries, there is one. And so typically, I stay where I'm safe, right? I stay near a metro, near like the bus. I know when I arrive within the second day, like where is the gym, where is the grocery store, how do I get around, what's my nearest metro, all of those things. But yeah, once I was like doing a side trip in Porto, in Portugal, and this is not to knock it because Porto is amazing and I would recommend mm-hmm. anyone go there. It was just like a creep, like a creeper. I was like across the bridge, and I crossed the bridge, and this like gentleman, an older gentleman as well, was like following me, and I was like, oh, maybe he just came, you know, and I would move positions and see him like staring and following. Mm-hmm. So after a while, I just ended up going into a group of students. There was like a maybe a high school trip or something happening. I just like mixed myself into that group and then like veered off onto a side road and like got out of there. Mm-hmm. But that was the only time in my travels that I really felt like super unsafe, mm-hmm. you know, and it was kind of a one-off incident. But yeah, Porto is amazing and I would recommend anyone go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah, it's always traveling by yourself can be, you know, scary for a lot of people, but you mm-hmm. do meet some amazing people, great friends, you mm-hmm. national database and just networking with people. I mean, a lot more people should do it for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then you meet, like you said, you meet people everywhere you go. Even mm-hmm. I've done three international videos. And the way that I did them was networking where I was, right? So I filmed one in Buenos Aires in Caminito, which is a super colorful town in Argentina. That was my first international poetry video. And then my second one was in Budapest. And yeah. there was a native Hungarian woman named Emmy. And she like ended up taking me around town and like showed me different towns and took me to her parents' house on the lake, like in outside of Budapest. And so we filmed my second one. And then my third one was in Ho Chi Minh. Mm-hmm. And my videographer was a guy named Christoph, and he was from France. So all of that was just networking, right? I was by myself in all those places, but making connections and building, you know, building friendships.
Throughout the whole time, right. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it says a lot. Like when you go out there, you never know who you'll meet, what would happen. Like it's, and then the culture is different. That's the thing too. So absolutely. Like you're used to American culture, like get ready to be geared up for something else. Cause like sometimes you're gonna have different experiences. Like I got off of a call with a company out in India, and you know, and I don't know if it's all the time with, you know, people from out there, but like, you know, they showed up to the late meeting mega late. Like mega late, but I stayed on because I was like, well, it's a different culture, you never know. So right. Throw it up like, hey, we're on, so hey, how's it going? So I'm just like, yeah, it's just the way it is. So like even if you go out to different places, like mm-hmm. be ready to experience something new, be receptive and open.
Right.
Say about that. Like some people like going all stiff, like, oh, I don't, but what would you right. say? Just being open and just accepting some of.
Yeah. My mantra for that is like, it's not weird. It's different. Right. Cause we're so quick to be like, that's weird that they do that. Ugh, that's crazy. You guys eat guinea pig. Ew. Like that's, it's like, well, you eat cow or you eat, I don't know. You know, it's not weird. It's different. Right. And when you can embrace that and be respectful of different cultures, faith, you know, their food, their practices, it's very humbling and it widens your horizons and just makes you such a better person.
Right.
You know, that's why they always say it's so cliche, but it's so true. Like travel is the only thing that you can spend money on that makes you richer. That's mm-hmm. the truth.
It's true. That is true. And a lot of people should. A lot of people that haven't experienced travel or haven't gone to, you know, a smaller village or mm-hmm. or have you just gone on the resorts and the cruises, you really don't get a chance to like, you know, I mean, what do you think about that? You know, the people that just go on the cruises or go to the nice resorts.
Okay. I'm not knocking those individuals, right? Because I think that there are different kinds of travelers. So you have people that like to vacation, and vacationing is very different than traveling. And then you even have people like me that like to travel, but I'm also more of explorer, right? So some of my friends travel and they like to eat, relax by the beach, and that's the extent. Maybe they'll go to a few different restaurants, get to know some people. I want to meet locals. I want to film a video there. I want to go skydiving and scuba diving. I want to experience like the culture and the people. But I don't think that people that vacation, like go on cruises and stuff like that, there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's relaxing, it's fun, it's traveling as well. It's just different. And I think everybody's different, right? I have a friend that lives in her van and she travels around the country. I wouldn't want to do that because I shower a lot. Like I just like to shower. So like not being able to have access to that. She does shower, but like she has specific places that she can go like to get that done. So that's not my style, right? Mm-hmm. Then I have friends that like to go and stay in a place for 6 months to a year because they really want to immerse themselves in the culture. That's not my style. I do enjoy it. I did that in London. Mm-hmm. But mine is more like a month, like stay here for a month or 2 months and then move on to something else and see something new. So I think there's so many different variations and there's so many different ways to travel. So however you do that, even if you're the 5-star luxury hotel traveler, that's fine. Like enjoy, have fun. I think however you do it, just changing your environment is going to give you a positive experience and you're going to learn regardless of what type of traveler you are.
Very well put. Very well put. So how can some people that are listening right now from around the world, how can they get a chance to experience what you've experienced? How can they get a chance to begin traveling, do more use spoken word? Because a lot of people are starting to get into it a lot more now. Mm-hmm. It's become very popular. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, like just digital nomad. Like how do you do that?
How do you do that? It's so funny because I heard a motivational speaker one time, and I'm not like the type of person that after you hear the speech, like you wait around to like talk to the person. Mm-hmm. Kind of just like appreciate it and I go home. I don't wait to shake the pastor's hand after church. Like I just hear the word and I go home, you know, but some people need to speak to that person. But this particular lady, I was like, I need to speak with her because I want to also be like a motivational speaker as well. And I do that like within, it's kind of like I mix song, poetry, and speaking together, right? To motivate and inspire. But I say that to say, I went to her and I was like, you know, I want to do this motivational speaking. How do you think I can get started? And I waited for like an hour, like to speak to her in the line. And she looked at me and she was like, just start. And I was so mad.
Just start.
I was so mad because I was like, I literally waited for an hour for you to tell me to just start. But it's funny because now that advice resonates so true, right? If you want to be a spoken word artist, start writing, start speaking. I did things for exposure when I first started. Of course, now you get paid events and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I did things just to put my name out there, just to volunteer, just to get practice and being in front of people to practice my poem and make sure I didn't have any hiccups. I quit my job, sold my house, sold my car. Like there's literally a point where you have to say it's now or never. And there's no right time, there's no right way or wrong way. And that's the cool thing, that's the cool and crazy thing about this life, this lifestyle, is that, and just anything in life really, is there is no wrong or right way. Nobody can tell you as an artist that you're wrong because it's your art, it's your way, it's your path,
right?
Right? Like you are you and that is your power. So if somebody asks me like, what would I do? How do I get started? Just start. And it all starts really in your mind. It's a mindset first. You have to be able to envision it before you can even make moves. Right. Where do you want to go? Peru, okay, cool. Where would you live in Peru? Like research that, cool. What are you good at? What are you good at? So how can you take what you're already skilled at and find a job that's going to value you, that also gives you the freedom to travel and do what you also want to do in your personal life. Mm-hmm. So it's asking yourself, sitting with yourself and asking yourself those questions and then not settling for anything. One of my quotes that I always say to people is, say what you want until you see what you said. Mm. So without the vision, the people perish, right? You need mm-hmm. to create that vision, envision it, put it in your mind, put it in your thoughts, and then figure out, okay, now let me work backwards and figure out how to start attacking this.
Right.
And it's really that simple of just getting started. And then you wake up and you're an international poet. And then you wake up and you're a digital nomad who's been around the world.
Wow.
one country at a time, right?
Right. That's true. That's, I mean, it's powerful what you said. Can you say that quote one more time? Because I think everybody needs to hear that. And that was one of the questions I was going to have, is like, impact somebody with the quote they could be, they could live with for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
Say it one more time.
Say what you want until you see what you said.
Wow. Powerful. It's powerful. No, that's true. Like, you got to put action behind it, man. Like, and go out and do it. And it's scary.
And it is scary. Talking about
that. You sold, you sold your house, car.
Right.
Suitcase, had a suitcase, and that's it. Like,
right. It is scary. And then people, even people that love you that don't even mean it, like, you know, say things that are like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't think you should do. So you have, so you have to kind of get to a point where you only kind of hear, you believe in yourself so strongly that, that it doesn't, the outside noise doesn't distract.
Right. Right
from that's what? What you know to be true and what you, what you've seen. And then the other cool thing is that so many people are doing so many amazing, creative, different things now that at least you have an example. You know that if somebody else is doing it, then you can too.
Right.
Right?
It's true.
There's nothing too far-fetched nowadays with social media, with technology, with anything. You just have to dream bigger. Like, dream bigger. Mm.
And when you dream big, and how, let people know about this too. Like, oh, what if it's gonna, it's not gonna take, it's not gonna happen super, super fast. Like, what about that? Or is it gonna happen quick for me? What, tell them about like patience. Like,
yeah,
it's a long game, not a short game. Like, let them know that, because that,
you love it, is long. It's, I mean, it's because people see, they see a you, even like if you think about like Lizzo, right? She's talking about being homeless for like 5 or 10 years, and then she's an overnight success. Overnight, in quotations, right? Because she's been doing that. She's been hustling for years before she got her break. So no, people only see you once you've made it, and they think that you've always been where you've been. But no, it is, it's definitely a process. Like, when I quit my job, I didn't have another job. That wasn't smart. I wouldn't recommend it. But I thought I would get one quicker, like, than I did. So it took me 2 months to actually find my first remote job. So for the first 2 months, when I was in Ecuador and Chile, I was unemployed and just looking for remote opportunities, believing that they would come. So once I got to Uruguay, I started working remotely, and then I've been able to work, like, consistently maintain a remote job, you know, for the last 4 years. But it's not easy. You have to be patient. Of course you're going to get upset. Of course you're going to get frustrated. But if it's worth it, I think the biggest thing in life, really, to be honest, and anything in life, is to enjoy the journey. So many people are so focused on the destination, right? And like, I'll be just, I'll be happy when this happens. Okay, right. If I just get X amount of dollars more, I'll be happy then. And there's no destination. It's about like enjoying the ride along the way. Are you smelling the flowers? Are you appreciating the process? Are you enjoying the struggle? Right. Are you enjoying the research that's gonna lead to you starting your own business, to selling your products, to enjoying the process along the way? Because tomorrow's not promised. We don't know what's gonna happen. So you have to enjoy every day and just, and believe for more that it will come.
That's real talk right there. At the end of the day, like, yeah, because I mean, the other day, I'll, you know, keep it real, when my uncle's wife's mother passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
After surgery or something, like, she had, and like, infection happened. So like, you don't know what can happen, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what can happen. So every day, like, yeah, you might as well live it to the best of your ability while taking those risks. But and it's shown. But I can see, like, I can feel your energy. I can feel, like, and then by doing the research online, like, you've really, like, taking that time. It's like, you know what? I just want to break free, and it's time.
It's time.
And you did it. And you're doing it still going.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And I'm sorry to hear that as well. I think that, yeah, it's so many people say that. They say, life, you know, life is too short, and live every day like it's your last. And I was like, but did you really? Did you really, though? Did you really enjoy the day? What did you do today to move the needle? Even if it's something small. If you want to grow your Instagram, okay. What did you do today toward that goal? If you want to travel, what did you research to figure out how you can get closer to that step? And maybe it's not exactly how you want it to be, but if you're enjoying the process along the way, that's where the beauty is. That's where, like, the beauty is. My sister says this quote all the time. I can't remember it exactly. It's something about, like, if whether you do it or you don't do it, the time is going to pass anyway. So you might as well put that time toward like good efforts and good and set your intentions on the things that you want, right?
Right.
Because everybody's always like, oh, it's going to take me a year. It's going to take me 2 years. It's going to take me, those years are going to pass anyway.
Right.
So why not, you know, spend them doing what you want to do or working toward this goal that you have in mind.
Right. And the same thing you said, like the journey, the life journey, enjoy it. Like, right. why rush through it? And that Elon Musk had a quote, I think, yeah, it was a quote I saw online, talked about if you had a 5 year or 10 year goal, or let's say 5 year goal, don't look at it being five years and it's long. See how you can get there faster doing it the right way. But just think about like going through the process and you may get there in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Never know. So.
And life surprises you, right? Things happen. You can go viral in a day, in a second nowadays. Like any one little thing can happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like, as long as you're setting, like, I have another quote that I say that's like, nobody can take your place if you're standing in it. Mm. Right. So like, as long as I'm right here,
right,
as long as I'm making my, you know, setting my intentions and do what I'm supposed to do, what's for me is for me. And it's going to come. It's going to happen. Nobody can take your place. If you're there, you're standing right in it. Right. So, but if you're not there, guess what? It's first come, first serve. Like, you know, get in position, get in your play, your spot, you know.
It is true. Like, you gotta, like, one of my friends named Jeff Logan, he owns like a performance based company now. Was homeless at first, played football, didn't make it to the NFL, worked like a moving job, was homeless for a bit.
Wow.
And then he actually recorded all this stuff too, and he put a little movie together to show his whole life. And it's crazy. Wow. He's only like 32, 33. And
where is this movie?
I'll send it to you. So I'll follow you through my Instagram and I'll send it to you. But it shows from him like recording himself in his car, said, "Hey, I'm broke, ain't got much. I'm about to quit my job with this movement company. I'm tired of it.
Wow.
But you know what? I'm about to be successful. It's 2012. I'm gonna get there. Yo, so February he released the video. It's like, it shows him like with a nice suit on, like Lamborghini, you know, like that's how he is. But like Lamborghini, like tatted up, like got two companies. And I'm just like, yo, bro, and we went to church together growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like he grinding, fighting for the crumbs, he says. Fighting for the crumbs every day.
Fight for the crumbs. I like that.
Pick up your crumbs and go add up 1% each day.
Wow.
So
I like that.
It's crazy. So your story.
I'll check him out.
I'll send that to you right after we're done. So, man, well, it's great having you on the podcast. Like, again, like, great story. I know you're still on your journey. I don't know if there's anything else you would like to leave the folks with before we close it out.
No, thank you again for having me. This was super fun. You had some good questions, especially the restaurant one. That went through.
Everybody trips on that all the time.
Yeah, but no, if you guys want to connect with me, it's JustTheVessel22 on everything, Twitter, Instagram, all the socials, JustAVessel, V-E-S-S-E-L, 22. And then my website is JustTheVesselPoetry.com. So yeah, I would love to connect with everybody listening, everybody that's serious about, you know, moving forward or wants help or anything, like, let's do it.
Hey, she's here for y'all. Make sure y'all book her for weddings. Just book her, man. Like, she,
you need a poem. Legit. I got you.
She legit, man. So appreciate you, and we'll definitely stay connected because this is awesome. I love connecting with great people, good energy, kind hearts. So that's amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Life Journey Podcast with Quentin Gause. To find out more and to follow the journey, visit Quentin's Instagram at QGause or our business page at iron_visuals. For full recaps of the show, find us on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Thank you for tuning in.